And now in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Back to verse 1, those things which are most surely believed among us. Many people today are floundering in a sea of uncertainty. For them, life has become nothing but a barrel of confusion. Not in every case, but in many cases, the reason for this is that they do not have anything to believe in. The brother of our Lord, Jude, who wrote that epistle that bears his name, said on one occasion to those to whom he wrote, earnestly defending, striving to defend, he used the word contend, earnestly contending for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Strong beliefs and deep convictions are to a life what the roots are to a tree. The fierce winds blow, but the mighty oak continues to stand firmly because it has deep roots. And so it is in your life and mine. The strong winds of adversity, the strong winds of persecution, the strong winds of doubt and fear blow violently upon our lives. But we remain to stand firmly because we are rooted and grounded in the Christian faith. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. And I had. I would not trade my faith this morning for the greatest fortune in all the world. I would not exchange what I have in my heart for all the money in the Rockefeller Foundation or the Fords or the Dodge Boys or Fort Knox or all of it accumulated together. I'd rather be saved this morning than to have a deed to this world. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, everything in this world will soon pass away. It is so temporal. Paul says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The greatest paradox in all the Christian faith is seeing him who is invisible. I believe, and I cannot for the life of me see how that anybody who does not have deep convictions and strong beliefs can expect to cope with the adversities and the reverses and crises of life. All too many people are driven and tossed by winds of false doctrine because they have not cemented and crystallized in their hearts what they really believe. My message is simply entitled, I Believe. And I want to share with you some of the things that I believe. You might want to say that this is my system of theology. It is very simple. I believe the Christian faith and Christian doctrines and Christian teachings ought to remain on a simple plane. One of the problems in the church world today is the problem of intellectualism. You see, some preachers go off to school and they get a degree, and then they think that they've got to delve into the deep and use long, extended words and study higher criticism just to prove to their congregation that they are smart. Well, now let me say this. A man who has got to prove he's intelligent is not very intelligent. I believe in the simple truth of the Christian faith. First, I believe in the Bible. Now you might ask, why do I put that first? And here is my answer. The Bible is the only reliable source of the truth. It is the only book that never changes. The textbooks of science change daily. What scientists believed a decade ago is outmoded today in many cases. The books of philosophy are outdated. But the Bible remains the only reliable, unchanging, eternal source of truth. And the Bible speaks to every experience known to man. The wise Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 at verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then he goes on to speak of birth and death, of time and eternity, of crying, of laughing, of planting, of plucking up, of building, of tearing down, of all of the emotions and all of the activities of the human race. I believe in the Bible because it sets forth eternal principles of life. 3,500 years ago, Moses wrote from Mount Sinai as he was inspired of the Lord, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And on he went in the giving of the law. In 1973, those laws are just as applicable, they are just as binding, they are just as true as they were the day that Moses received them from the finger of God on Mount Horeb in yonder's wilderness country. So I believe the Bible because it is eternally and everlastingly unchanging, unchangeable, and true. I believe in the Bible. Then, I believe in God. A few years ago, while the liberals have tried everything, they've tried to renounce the Word of God and the Son of God, and back a few years ago in the 60s, they even tried to declare that God was dead. But I say now what I said then, if God is dead, no tongue could tell it. because in him we live and move and have our being. I believe that God is the God of all things and all circumstances and all events. God is God. The time has come when there must be a line drawn. I would to God that we had an Elijah on the scene who would say, as he did to Israel, to our people, if Baal be Baal, then serve him. But if God be God, then serve him. I believe in God. In nature, I see his beauty. In judgment, I see his power. In Jesus, I see his love. Now, I do not believe that God is so far removed from us that we cannot touch him. He is very near. He is just as near as 1 ounce of faith. I believe that God is a personal God. I believe I am his child and he's my father because I've been born into his family. And when I have burdens and I have problems and I have discouragements and I have difficult questions to answer, when I see the imponderables of life, I don't go to science because science cannot answer. I don't go to philosophy because philosophy cannot solve and answer the deep and dark and abiding questions of life. Why, when I have questions, I go to my father. When I have problems, I go to my father. And my father answers, and my father knows me. He knows my name. He knows my social security number. He knows my area code number, my telephone number. He knows everything about me. And in spite of everything he knows about me, he still loves me because he's my father and I'm his child. I unashamedly, unhesitatingly, unreservedly say to you, I believe in God. I believe also in Jesus Christ. I do not believe he was an ordinary man. I do not believe the portrayal that the so-called film or Broadway drama puts him on, Jesus Christ, the superstar. I do not believe in a blasphemous approach to Christ. But I believe that he was in the world above before the foundations of the world were ever laid. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So I believe that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was born of a virgin. I believe that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, lived a sinless life. I believe he died a substitutionary sacrificial death upon the cross. And I believe that on the morning of the third day, he arose triumphantly, victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And I believe that he is forever alive at the right hand of God. And I believe that he is making intercession for us this moment. And I believe that he's coming back again. Amen. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. How do I know it? I read it in the book that I believe. Amen. And this book tells me that when he went away, that the disciples stood there looking up into the heavens, and there stood by them 2 men in white apparel, which also said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus which you see taken away from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I believe he will establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace and love and joy on this earth. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe further in the church. I have no time for any organization or person or groups of persons who do anything to deter or to infringe upon or to downgrade the church of God. I believe the church was founded by Christ. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. I believe the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and gathered there in the upper room, 120, waiting for the promise. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the church. Then I see in magazines and on television, so-called Christians, heroes of Hollywood, go out in their swimming pool and baptize people. Go out in the ocean and baptize people. No right and no authority to baptize. Amen. There's not an organization in all the earth that has any right to baptize but the church. Amen. There is not an organization in the world that has a right to evangelize but through the auspices of the church. I believe in the church. I believe that every member ought to be totally, absolutely surrendered and dedicated to Christ in the ministry of the church. Because I believe the church is the body of Christ and the exalted head is in heaven. I believe the church has two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I believe the church is God's designated place for worship. I believe that the church was written to by Christ himself. And I do not believe in the church of the air. I hear him on the radio. I am your church of the air, Pastor. There's no church of the air in the Bible. Amen. Dr. Ensminger says if you go to talking about an invisible church, you'll have one. When I opened the blessed book, I see where there was a missionary sent from, for example, the church at Antioch, a definite location. When Paul established churches, he established them in cities, in villages, in provinces, in places. And when Christ wrote, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Thyatira, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Laodicea, the church at Philadelphia. What I'm saying this morning is the church is a local, visible body of baptized believers. I believe in the church. And I believe the church provides not only a place of worship, but a place of service. That it is incumbent upon us as members of the church to serve Christ through the auspices of the church. I believe further in personal salvation. No one can be saved for you. No one can by proxy enter into a relationship with Christ for you. Personal salvation. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for all men. I believe that all men can be saved by the blood of Christ. I believe God has given me reasoning and the powers of choice. I can either accept or reject His salvation. And I believe the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse all sin. I believe in personal salvation because when I was 11 years old, I was in an old-fashioned church. And there was an old-fashioned preacher who preached from an old-fashioned book, the old-fashioned gospel. And I was saved. And I wouldn't thank an angel to come today and tell me that. Because I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is mine. And I believe in a personal salvation because I am saved. I believe in heaven. We sing about it. We think about it. We talk about it. I believe that heaven is just as real as God. We've had some members who've entered heaven just recently. They are there this morning. Proof? To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's a song that I never did put too much stock in. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Oh, I don't want a cabin. I don't want to be in the corner. I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ, and I want to be in the big middle of it all. Amen. I believe heaven has streets of gold and gates of pearl. Amen. I believe there'll be multiplied, teeming millions out of every tongue and out of every tribe and out of every nation. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, who will be in heaven. Some people are going to have a hard time adjusting to heaven. They're so unheavenly on the earth. But if we are living in the shadow of the cross, if we're living in the book of God and in Christian fellowship, it'll be just like moving off one place and on to another. This morning, the astronauts are going about up there 270 miles away. And understand there's sickness there. Man is such a frail being. And they have problems there. And they have difficulties in space. But that's not going to be the case when our great captain comes. You know, I believe that every person who has died in the faith is in heaven. Our loved ones are there. Most of all, my Savior is there. They ask old Bud Robinson, the colored preacher, what he wanted to see when he got to heaven. Don't you want to see your mama? Yes. Don't you want to see the angels? Yes. Don't you want to see those multiplied hundreds who've been saved under your ministry? Yes. But Moss Angel, I wants to see my master first. I want to see Him. He's there. And bless your heart, one of these days, we're going to be there. I believe I'm going to heaven. I don't know whether it'll be through death or through the second coming of Christ, but I'm going. My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus said before he went away, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I believe I'm going to heaven. What about you? Won't you come and join that innumerable caravan that moves through the gates? Won't you come and get on the Savior's side today? Won't you come and place your hand in the nail-scarred hand of the Savior? Won't you let him punch your ticket? Won't you let him write it paid in full? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. I believe. I believe. I believe. I have a footnote and I'm through. I believe God is speaking to some soul here today. Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? You outside Christ, you church member, you Christian, you friend, is it you to whom God is speaking today, inviting you to come and perhaps whisper a prayer of dedication and surrender? Come and make known publicly your profession of faith in Christ. Come and unite with the fellowship of this church. I believe God is speaking to hearts in this hour. Let us stand for our prayer.